try and continue on speaking about the gospel and hopefully preaching the gospel at the same time. When Walter and I were first starting, one of the things we had as a bit of education in Sovereign Grace was tapes by Henry Mahan. And one of the things he preached about and talked about on those tapes was the fact that there were a lot of people out there saying, send me money. Well, of course, this was the 80s. Everybody wanted money in the 80s. Everybody still wants it in the 2000s, but we try to be a little more subtle. But that's what they're after. And they say, oh, we need more money so we can preach the gospel. We need more money. You got to send it so we can preach the gospel. And don't let this television show go off the air. And then they spent the whole time talking about getting money and never preached the gospel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found out a little later on it's because they don't know the gospel.
Yeah. Right.
I know one guy had a half-hour program. He spent 15 to 20 minutes of it begging for money. So we can keep this program on the air. Well, we never got to what the program was about. And some of his stuff was halfway true. But Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said last week, this is the gospel of God. This is the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of the circumcision, and it's the gospel of the uncircumcision. It's the gospel concerning his Son, and it is one gospel. There is one good news, there is one glad tidings, and it concerns the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It also is the only gospel that agrees with both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
And that's what I was looking into when I quit last week. John the Baptist, in a declarative statement recorded in the Gospel of John. Let me just go back there for just a minute. John 1. In verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That had particular significance to the people of Israel, to Jews. And it actually has particular significance to us. Because it does not say that behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of all the congregation of the children of Israel. This is the world. That is cosmos, and it's not everybody, but it is one sacrifice going to be made, one Lamb of God for all that will be saved. That's what Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus in John 3. And that was the big shocker. 3:16, and I'll read it the way it's written in the Greek, so God loved the world That's the actual order of the words. So God loved the world, the cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The world, not just Israel. Even Gentiles, even the uncircumcised. This is the gospel of the uncircumcised, as well as the gospel of the circumcision, that Christ came and took away the sins and saved his people. Christ is the sacrificial lamb. John the Baptist declared that the Lamb of God is here right now. There he is. I saw him. I see him. And he's going to take away the sin of the world. And like I said, I read the end of the book. He did. Christ is the sacrificial lamb. He redeems us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for the people which the Father gave him from before the foundation of the world. As it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Where's that? The Old Testament. Christ is the sacrificial lamb. Christ is the substitute lamb. Christ is our Passover lamb. He is our Passover, period. The Lamb of God, complete in every way, and in whom the Father is well pleased. Hear it. Hear what he says. Believe him. He was totally acceptable as the sacrifice for sin to God on his throne. And as I said, Christ is our Passover, and I did want to go back there just a little bit. Exodus chapter 12. Because whenever in the New Testament you'll see people talking, when Stephen preached and others talked, Paul, they always go back to the Exodus in Egypt, or from Egypt. The great exodus from Egypt, because there had never been anything like that before in this world, to where people were freed by the power of God from being slaves. In Exodus chapter 12, well, just verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now there's more than one lamb here, because there's a lamb for every house. But there was only one death. The blood was all shed by the congregation of Israel at one time. I never paid any attention to that before this. Christ only shed his blood once. Period. Once. And even in this type, even though there was a lamb for every house, the blood was shed once. at one time the congregation of Israel shed the blood. And then verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. The lamb was taken into the people, the congregation of Israel. It was consumed, and the blood was put on the outside of the house. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet. That's verse 11. And your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, I the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And here's the great statement, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I, the Lord, see the blood. It's His sight that counts.
Right. Right.
It's not my sight.
Right.
I heard a fellow the other day say a nice thing that I'd never thought of either. You know, when God passed over, He wasn't doing an inspection about who was in the house. He saw the blood, He passed over. Now, those people were in the house. But it wasn't, did you have enough faith? Did you have this faith? Did you have a great faith? Did you have a small faith? No, you were in the house. The blood, I see it, I pass over. And death did not come to those houses. The other houses it did. And that's what Christ is. He is our Passover lamb. And when God sees His blood, He will pass over us. He has passed over us.
He has.
It's been shed. The redemption has happened. That's part of the gospel. That's the good news of your salvation. Redemption has happened. Christ has purchased His people with His own blood. This Lamb of God, John said, is here now. The Messiah, the Christ. And because of that, God shall pass over His people. And death may be and is everywhere else. But when God sees the blood, He passed over. Now, where is it? I went way too far back here. This gospel is called the gospel of God concerning His Son. In what I said, it was 11 places. 11 places, it's called the gospel of God. Christ. Now, is that because it's from Christ or about Christ? Yes. That's right. It's the gospel from Christ, and it is the gospel of Christ. Paul received the gospel and his ministry from Christ Himself. Acts 20:24, he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, is a gospel of grace.
Yeah.
And that's another point. This is the only gospel that shows God as both just and justifier of them that believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. It's a gospel of grace. And we have an explanation of grace in Romans 11. If it's of grace, it's not of works. If it's of grace, our works have nothing to do with it. There is work involved, but it's not ours. If it's grace, it's a gift. If it's a gift, it comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down. Grace, unmerited favor. I know a lot of people say that, but they don't mean it. They'll say it, and then they'll say, if you take the first step, God will meet you there. I consider that works. Because dead men can't walk.
Amen.
Dead men can't do anything. On the way up here, we were listening to a fellow preaching on Lazarus. Come forth. Lazarus was given life, and Lazarus came forth, but Lazarus was bound when he came forth. But Lazarus did not come forth, didn't sit up, didn't twitch, didn't do anything until the Lord Jesus Christ called him by name. It's the gospel of grace, not of works. There is no works for me. My best deeds are filthy rags in his sight. And don't take it personal, yours are none better. Your best deeds are filthy rags on the side of God. I told you a few weeks ago, and I meant it, for the longest time I was like the wayside. Anybody that spoke to me of anything, of Christ, of God, of the Bible, of anything, it went just like this, right over my head. I mean, seriously, just went right by. It didn't even go in one ear and out the other because it didn't stop. You know, it just went by. I was uncircumcised in heart and ears. And I was not ready to hear anything. And guess what? That's what I heard. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I would hear the world's best nonsense from some of the world's best and smartest people. But I could not hear a thing about this word, this Christ, this Son of God, this gospel concerning the Son of God. It went right by me. I had no interest in it. I had no desire for it. But one day, and I don't know what day it was, but one day, I noticed I did start to care a little bit about what was this book was about and what God said and what Christ said and what this book says. I didn't take any steps. Something had happened to me. That's the first step. That's the first step. God has to do something for the dead alien sinner, and that first thing he does is life. And it's a gift. The sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. The sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the gospel. It's the sanctification of the Spirit life from the dead. The Holy Spirit blows where it listeth, and you can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. Life comes by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is His gift to His people. I don't want to go there yet. There's not much time. But I will put this here. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's just look at that for just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. This is a definition, in a way, of the gospel. And it agrees perfectly with what Paul said in Romans 1. Of course, this is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. The gospel continues, and we continue in the gospel, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. There are those who have believed in vain.
Yeah.
There are those who have left this assembly, much less anybody else's. And it's clear they went out from us because they were not of us. That's it. Because had they been of us, what? They would have hurt us. That's what John said. If you're of God, you'll hear us. Not that we're special, but this book is the truth. You will hear the truth. You will continue in the gospel. That is part of the perseverance of the saints. That is part of Christ keeping us by faith. Unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Another perfect place to put everybody, if he'd meant everybody. But he didn't mean everybody. He meant our sins. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. This gospel, which Paul preached, the gospel of God concerning his Son, is concerning how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, which before in his prophets he had told us about. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so 3 days and three nights I'll be in the belly of the earth. But he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And then he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part, people were still alive who had seen him. People were still alive who had seen Christ after he rose from the dead. And still, the world wouldn't have it. But believers do. And the reason believers do have it is because he gave it to us. But it is according to the Scriptures. His life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The Old Testament, I said it last week, the Old Testament says the Messiah is coming. Christ is coming. The Gospels say he is here. And now we have the epistles that said He arose from the dead, and he's coming again. And it's time to quit. What Christ did in his life, everything Christ did in his life was perfect. Amen. Holy and sinless. He was the well-beloved of the Father. His death was also perfect. His blood was shed for many. For he shall bear their iniquities. And his blood was shed for his people. And he rose again and ascended to the Father, and the Father accepted him. And we, as believers, are accepted in him. Lazarus rose from the dead. And the fellow pointed this out. There were some that went from there right back to the Jews in Jerusalem and said, "You know what this guy did?" And the Jews in Jerusalem said, "You know what we got to do? We got to kill him." There's the story of the rich man in hell and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He says, "No, though the one raised from the dead, they won't believe. If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, because Moses and the prophets wrote of Christ. Though one rose from the dead, Lazarus rose from the dead, Jesus Christ arose himself from the dead. I have power to lay my life down. I have the power to take it back up again. The Father has given me this power." They still will not have it. Because those who are uncircumcised in heart and ears will always resist the Holy Ghost. They will always resist this gospel of Christ to the death, until somebody circumcises their heart and ears. The gospel is powerful. It is dividing. It is divisive. It is a sword that will set people apart even in their own family, because it is the gospel of Christ. Other gospels will bring together. They have ecumenical gospels. But the truth of God, the doctrine of God, the doctrine concerning his Son is divisive, is dividing, is painful, and people hate it. Walter said it last week. Lights come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light. It's not that they love darkness more than the light. No, they don't love light at all.
Right.
They don't want it.
Right.
Because they can't have it. They can't have it because God has not given it to them. But he has given it to his people, and he is revealing it to his people until the fullness of the Gentiles be brought in. Our Heavenly Father, excuse me, we're thankful again for this time and this place. We're thankful for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did come and save his people from their sins, who gave himself, took upon himself our sins, and purged them on the tree. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.